The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Yesterday was D-Day, and we're going to remember D-Day in a moment, but I have to share a story. I have to share a story that happened to me. So yesterday, I spoke at a church north of us about an event my ministry has coming up on the 26th. I would suspect some of you know about my men's ministry. So we represent ourselves as a Christian men's ministry and not necessarily a church men's ministry. We've done a number of events and retreats. We have a leadership class starting on, I think it's July the 8th. We do outreach into the community. We do a lot of other things as well. And I got a message from a pastor who will go unnamed. And all it said was, hey, can you call me? I have something I want to run by you, and I have some questions. So stereotypically, when a pastor reaches out to me, I'll make time. So we play a little phone tag and get a hold of him, and I said, Pastor, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? And he says, I have a few questions about your ministry and what you're doing. And my first thought was, oh, thank God. Because truth be told, and I'll probably share this story at 3 o'clock, we got an email from, let's just say some of the powers that be, that it's important to tell stories on the program. So this is a story that's fresh in my mind, and it's worth telling at least twice. So I thought, thank God. Because what went through my mind was when I started this men's ministry a few years ago, so many pastors up until that point, we're in, we're with you, let us know how we can help you. And many, many, many months later, tens of thousands of men coming to a KMG event or a man camp. I'm going to be really nice. I can count how many pastors that have come alongside me on one hand. Let me take three fingers away. Like two pastors. It's just amazing. And early on, gosh, am I this honest on the air? Sure. We're called to be transparent and honest. So early on, I was hurt. I'm thinking, something's wrong here. And then I went through a period of time where I kind of prayed and fasted and asked the Lord to guide me. Do you want to shut down the ministry? If you do, just tell me. I tell him that. I told him that on the way to work today. It's always every day. Lord, what will you have me do today? So I went through a stage of being kind of hurt and doubting things. And then some time goes on, and I went through a period of being kind of angry. I just really want to be honest here. And I'm kind of putting it mildly, like, you know, and then I kind of went a little fleshly. And I've repented of the sin, and if I have any extra juice in this, I'll repent again. Maybe there's some leftover. But I remember getting kind of worked up going, you know, I had... You said, Pastor, on my program, or I've done this for you, and all these things going to my mind. Part of this radio ministry is about supporting churches and pastors. That's a given. But I kind of went into the Rolodex of my mind going back to conversations we've had, and I started doing like a little instant tally up in my head. Like, where is everybody? What's going on here? So let's fast forward to what happened in the last few days, because I think it speaks volumes. And I want to be very clear at the end of this story. This is not about me. This is not about my ministry. This is about the state of things in the church in the West. I absolutely believe. So we start the conversation, and again, I'm somewhat encouraged, thinking, wow, okay, somebody's going to kind of come alongside. And first question, do you believe Jesus is the Messiah? And I'm thinking, yeah. And then he went through kind of the Jesus, who is he? And he went through what many of us know and agree, forgiving, compassionate, loving, service. What I've not really met anybody that identifies as a Christian that doesn't have that one down. Jesus was about love. We get that. And then the conversation took a little turn that I was initially a little confused by. And the statement that was made was, okay, well, I'm glad we agree on that, because it seems as if your ministry is about anger. And I'm thinking, clarify, please. And then he said, well, we know Jesus turned over the money changers, but I mean, it's not like there's a lot in Scripture where he walked around angry all the time. And I was like, oh, I need a little time out here, because I have a little different take on that one. And I don't want to be disrespectful. So I, instead of stating a truth, I asked a question. And I said, Pastor so-and-so, I said, so you're questioning my ministry as if somehow there's anger in it. And then I followed up with a question, Pastor, could you please tell me how Jesus addressed evil? It's kind of silence on the phone a few moments, and it was kind of like a pardon me. And I said, did you understand what I asked? And he said, yeah. And I said, any response, any thoughts on that one? And then he kind of started going in a way in which he was just kind of pontificating certain things. And, well, the devil tempted him three times and la, 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 la. Kind of like this underlying tone that, nah, we're just going to go with the love Jesus, right? The compassionate Jesus. Or as Vodi Bakum talks about, we'll play that in a moment, the Sissify Jesus. That's so popular. Stay with me. Please stay with me. And so I waited a moment. I took a breath, and I said, Pastor, with all respect, I don't run a church. I'm not in the pulpit. I said, as a matter of fact, early on in my radio ministry, I was asked to speak at a lot of churches. First year or two, there wasn't at least a weekend where I wasn't asked to preach a time or two every weekend. And then when my ministry began, kind of officially 3 years ago, I think I probably had a handful of invites since then. And I said, I'm not going to necessarily go with, you know, that's a coincidence or anything, but I said, Pastor, I just want to be straight with you. I think we may have a different view on this. Because when I read in the Bible how Jesus addressed evil, there was a righteous indignance about him where there was no toleration at all. Zero. He even called some of the religious elite vipers and hypocrites. And I said, could you explain that one to me? And at that point in the conversation, it was kind of like, you know, I'm done with you. And he said, well, I'm really confused, and I appreciate you taking my call. And that was that. And I'm thinking, what just happened here? So let me kind of address this, because it bothered me for a few days. It's not the first time I've gotten this. I applaud him for being direct. What I experience mostly is the non-confrontation of some pastors, where I know on some level there is a choice to not even address this one. It's kind of, without saying, you know, lose my number, we don't really support what you're doing. You're not even a church ministry. Now, I want to be careful here, because I don't think it's an either or. I think churches and men's ministries and churches, there are many of them that are doing an incredible job teaching men the Bible, in some ways holding them accountable. And yet, I see a need when I meet men that would profess to be Christians, or I meet tons of men that don't know the Lord. I think, how is the church addressing them, right? But the overall theme in my mind is these guys have bought in a lie. These guys believe to be a man in the year 2021. You have to be soft, you have to be passive, you have to be indifferent, and you may not even know the voice of hell is speaking to you and calling you a hypocrite and a liar because you're doing things in the middle of the night you shouldn't. You're filled with shame and guilt, and you are taken off the battlefield, and you don't even know you're in a battle, let alone who the enemy is. And for me, I may sound a little edgy at times, but I am angry. I hate Satan. I don't hate anyone. I hate Satan and the way in which he is a coward. We just had D-Day yesterday. Men storming a beach in Normandy, giving their lives, some losing their lives within seconds, gunned down in the water or on the shore, fighting for freedom. And now we live in a time in a country where it's undeniable, with respect, you can agree to disagree, maybe freedom is under attack. I heard a pastor in the pulpit yesterday that I do hold in high regard said, you know what? There are a lot of people that would rather be taken care of than be free and pay the price. And I'm like, wow, where is that voice in the pulpit? So we're a men's ministry, and we're here to call all men, men that don't even know who the Lord is. Reach out to us. Send us an email. Come to an event. Come to a man camp. Call us. Let us have a conversation on the phone. And doggone it, if you're a man that says you're a follower of Christ or you're a Christian, you know where your walk is with the Lord. See, that's one of the greatest lies of the enemy. He just fills us with shame. Oh, isolate. You are beyond, you're on beyond hope. And we buy it. I had a conversation probably 3 years ago with a man that called the program, and on the air we got into it a little bit, and then I called him back. And his deal was his best friend was cheating on his wife. Christian man, the guy that called the program, Christian man. And I asked him on the air, I said, what did you do? Because he called me. He said, I didn't do anything. And I'm like, you're pulling my leg, right? And then the conversation was kind of mundane on the air, and then off the air, I'm just going to be forthright. I kind of got into it with him. I got in his face. Don't even know the guy. I said, so your best friend is cheating on his wife, and you're being complicit by not calling him out? What kind of friend is that? What kind of love is that? He goes, well, as Christians, we're not supposed to judge. And I'm thinking, ay, ay, ay. Satan's in the church, no doubt. How many pastors in the pulpit right now And you know the ones in your community right here in San Diego. I could name probably five off the top of my head. They are in the battle. They are equipping you. They are ministering to you. They are shepherding you. They're doing what God is calling them to do. And I happen to think they are few and far between. And for me, if your church, quote unquote, your church is still closed, or your church has been closed and they're doing these drive-through vaccinations, you better find a new church. Why would you go to a church that does that? If ever there's a time we need to hear God's truth and assemble in fellowship, it would kind of be now or last month or 6 months ago or Pentecost Sunday a year ago. But we've got softness. We've got this, oh no, we can't offend. We've got to love our neighbor. Seriously. Love your neighbor? What does that mean? I want to play an audio clip here. If you've not heard this, this is indeed one pastor's take on the whole loving your neighbor thing, but I happen to think he's spot on. And when we hear this ongoing message about we have to be careful and we have to love our neighbors and we have to take the shot, it's not hard to find the statistics. This is a virus. We have good information now who the virus really goes after the elderly and those with comorbidities. And we're letting the church be shut down in our country because of a virus. Love your neighbor. Here's two men that I hope you're familiar with. Dennis Prager is a talk show host for the Salem Radio Network. Pastor Rob McCoy has a church in Ventura County called Godspeak.
When I was brought up for contempt charges, the judge at the time said to my counselor, my attorney, instruct your client on the second great commandment. And what he's referring to is where Jesus says, love the Lord your, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. And the judge was referring to, you're not loving your neighbor because you are exposing them to this virus.
Right, right. That's what they say.
And so I answered the judge and I said, Judge, I do love my neighbor and it's coming at a great cost of $3,000 a fine per service by the government to defend the abused that are being quarantined with their abusers, to defend the elderly that die alone, to defend the children whose schools have been shuttered, to defend the business owners. It's estimated 60% of the restaurants in our county will never reopen. There's no voice for them. For a virus that has over a 99% survival rate, depending on the county you're in, and they're going to give you grief on that and probably take you off the air. But the bottom line is, this does not merit the tyranny and the draconian measures, and it's coming at a cost to us. And then I tell churches that say, we love our community. That's why we haven't opened. And we're not political. I go, you're political. You just choose to think you're not. Because by yielding to tyranny, you may have your homeless shelters open and you may have your food banks open and your counseling, but you don't have your church service. And you're yielding to tyranny, which has caused California to have the highest homelessness, the highest poverty, the highest debt. I mean, we can go down the list of the miseries in California. And I said, you've helped create the problem, and then you fish downstream to fish out the human heartache you helped create by bowing to tyranny. Your job is to defend the freedom of man. God came to set the captives free. That's our responsibility.
Pastor Rob McCoy, his church is Godspeak. One more. Again, we got to cross this T and dot this I. For those of you that are thinking, yeah, but what about Romans 13? We're supposed to, Romans 13. Do what the government tells you to do, right?
There was a minister. He died in 1766. And John Adams said this minister was responsible for launching the revolution. All of the clergy on the Eastern seaboard at that time looked at Romans 13, which says God appoints all positions of authority, we're to submit to them. because he appoints them and we're to submit to them. But it also goes on to say, and they're appointed for our good. Jonathan Mayhew said, if they're not doing good, they're no longer the authority.
Right.
And that's where they get the idea in the Declaration of Independence, not for light and transient causes. But when you're saying that the church is non-essential, you got a problem. And Jonathan Mayhew, when he wrote that and did that exegetical study of Romans 13 that inspired the revolution, he said, disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. And that was the moniker that carried the revolution.
Oh, was it from him?
From him.
Oh, what a great, right.
And now, that was back when they were dealing with King George and they were dealing with violations. And now we have a constitutional republic and these folks govern by our consent. And one of the reasons why I stepped down from the city council is because I knew I'd be violating the governor's order. I knew that the council would hold me, they mm-hmm. would censure me. Mm-hmm. And I knew that they'd be violating their oath of office. Because when I took that oath of office, I swore to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. All elected officials govern by our consent. The sovereign in America is the first three words of the preamble of the Constitution. We the people. So Romans 13 says God appoints all positions of authority. The authority in America now in a constitutional republic is we the people. Elected officials govern by our consent, and they're constrained by the seven articles of the U.S. Constitution, and they must honor the 27 amendments. When they fail to do that, it is our right and our duty in our birth certificate to push back and say no.
Pastor Rob McCoy, again, a senior pastor of Godspeak in Thousand Oaks, Newberry Park, as a recently an interview with Dennis Prager on the Prager University website. 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Point of clarification, the impact segment you just heard was from earlier today in San Diego. I made reference to San Diego a time or two. But the information is as, well, important as ever. I got an email from listener Tim. I did not clarify some things in that monologue, and he wanted to know more about the event on the 26th. Just go to franksontag.com, Tim, and you are more than welcome to join us on the 26th. We've got a few tickets left. It's in Ventura County. At Godspeak Church. And by the way, if you're a man listening right now and you need help, if you've isolated and maybe you're just in a state right now where you're tired of being tired, reach out to us. FrankSontag.com will take you to my ministry site. Send an email. Let us know how we get in touch with you. We want to help you and come alongside you. That's why we do KMG Ministries. So please do that. And we will definitely follow up with you. Couple of stories about California. I just shared that monologue about, well, what do we do here in California and the church and the state of things? And we made mention of this a little bit last hour. The governor has extended his emergency powers. And I'm thinking, we get the government we deserve. So I'll read that one after I read you something else that's going on in our state. You know, we have a new DA, George Gascon, who I've not talked much about. This guy, talk about recall. He is all about reforming the prison system, tossing all sorts of safeguards out the window, and he has upset a lot of people in a short time. This story... A gang member and a convicted double murderer is set to be released from San Quentin prison today, according to LADA George Gascon's reforms. Convicted double murderer Howard Jones was denied parole in 2015 and 17, but parole was approved in his third hearing this year when prosecutors were unable to attend under new DA George Gascon's reforms. This is a true story. In 1988, Howard Jones murdered two teenagers at a party in Los Angeles. He shot them both because they were wearing red. Blood gang members wore the color red, said to be a gang shooting. And today, this man is scheduled to be released from prison. Our governor, we talked about last week, 76,000 prisoners are set to be released in the next few weeks. 20,000 prisoners are in prison life with the possibility of parole. Now, I still believe that 2 + 2 = 4, and it's not racist. If you do the basic math, the 20,000 prisoners that are set to be released who are serving a life sentence with the possibility of parole, probably most of them aren't in there for nonviolent drug offenses. Speaking of Governor Newsom, not sure if you heard what he did last Friday, but he just confirmed what a lot of us suspected. The June 15th deadline by which we were going to open up, he's moved back now to July 31st. Katie Grimes writes for California Globe. She writes the following, and I would love to take a handful of calls in this segment ASAP, 888-528-2557. If you have any comment about what Governor Newsom announced last Friday. Grimes writes, Newsom yet again extended his own emergency powers despite more than 46 million vaccines administered. This is obviously not about public health, but about his power, control, and obedience by the people. That would be you, listeners. Are you obedient to this? Do you think this is for the public good? Newsom originally promised again to open California on June 15th. He's backed off from that again for the 9th time. One commentator said the following, quote, so much of progressive totalitarianism is simply creating problems, then fixing them, all while imposing even more confiscatory taxation and stifling regulation and expanding the public union bureaucracy with additional layers of unaccountability and prevailing wages. Globe reported Governor Newsom announced Friday that he will extend his emergency powers in the state of emergency, as well as some masking mandates past the June 15 reopening date. At this point, Grimes writes, either the California legislature can revoke his emergency powers, which should have been done already, or the pending recall election, if successful, could remove him from office. Grimes says it was in a speech on YouTube. This wasn't a press conference. He didn't have any reporters, nobody that could ask him a question. In a speech on YouTube, his 15th month state of the emergency and lockdown orders. God doesn't even hold live press conferences anymore because he knows some are maybe fed up. Is that you? I don't know. Phones are a little quiet. 888-528-2557. In a speech before his, quote, vax for the win, end quote, lottery drawing. Got to be kidding me. Newsom said the following, quote, one thing I'm certain of is this. There's uncertainty in the future. That's brilliant. Wow. Who writes this stuff? The emergency remains in effect after January 15 because we're still in a state of emergency. This disease has not been extinguished. It's not vanished. It's not taking the summer months off. End quote. Grimes writes, of course, there's uncertainty in the future. There always is. Statement means nothing. As for the disease not being extinguished, it's not vanished, it's not taken the summer off. No one in the media has ever challenged that patent ridiculous statement. Coronavirus is a virus. It's never going to be extinguished or vanished ever. It's going to be around, maybe not like it's been, but viruses just don't disappear. Then there's Senate Leader Scott Wilk from Santa Clarita. once in a while you get a breath of fresh air, somebody in political office that has a bit of an idea of what they're saying and what they're doing. Quote, if Newsom believes the state is safe enough to reopen, then it's safe for people to be able to make decisions for themselves without his arbitrary and capricious rules. Then Wilkes said, I believe it's time for him to hang up his crown and restore our democracy. In California, we don't grow bananas, so there's no need for a banana republic. Grimes says, is the virus only present in California? Not the other states? Why are at least 45 other states open? And then we remember it was during the April 6th press conference. Newsom said then more than 20 million vaccines had been administered. Quote, it's time to turn the page on our tier system and begin looking to fully reopen California's economy. We can now begin planning for our lives post-pandemic, end quote. That was April the 6th. Many of you are going back then, yeah, okay. He throws out the June date, more than 2 months away. And I think those of you that can kind of read between the lines, you're like, yeah, that's just an arbitrary. He's going to back off on that. And lo and behold, that's what he did Friday. He also announced Friday that the mask mandate is not going to be ending in full, which he promised last month. Instead, he's going to be following the new Cal/OSHA recommendations, which will have masks in the workplaces at least till July 31st. Regardless, there's no science behind it. We're obviously being manipulated and being willing to be controlled. Grimes writes, Cal/OSHA's order, an obvious collusion with the governor, now requires all employees to wear masks, even if one employee is unvaccinated. It's just amazing. Grimes writes, so if you want to keep your job, even if you've been vaccinated, you must wear a mask. She also cites a recent University of Louisville study that, quote, found mask mandates and use are not associated with lower SARS-CoV-2 spread among U.S. states, end quote. Big shocker. Kevin in Huntington Beach, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right. It's not about public health. It's more about control, because with 46 million people vaccinated, I would be led to believe that most of the vulnerable part of our population has been vaccinated, even though the disease is still out there. It's really not, doesn't seem to be killing people anymore at a very high rate anyway. And the thing with everybody in a particular business having to be vaccinated in order for them to go maskless, you came from the sports world. You know what it's like in football or basketball. When one person messes up a play in practice or whatever, what's everybody got to do? Everybody do a lap. Everybody do burpees. Everybody. It's kind of that mentality to make people want to rat out their coworkers.
Well, I'll have to spend a bit of time on the sports analogy. I mean, I knew where you were going. Does it apply to this? I'll have to really think about that. I appreciate your call. Thank you, Kevin. We've literally got a minute. James in L.A., you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Thank you, Frank. Nick, this is the guy who was in the French Laundry. This is all about control and fear. We got to wake up. California, please, understand. This man is trying to oppress us in any way possible because he knows his career is over. Let's wake up. Let's rise up. Let's make our vote count. Last time I checked, the government works for us. We, the people. Let's wake up. Thanks, Frank.
James, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not as optimistic. I'll just sign off this segment with, again, a quote I heard actually Pastor Rob McCoy say yesterday. He invited me to Godspeak. Grateful to be at that church and share a little bit about our KMG event. And Rob said he believes there's a lot of people that would rather be taken care of than fight for freedom. And I'm like, wow. And I think it's very on point. May not be you, may not be me, but there's a lot of people in our state. Oh, please, government, help me. Make me feel safe. Make me feel taken care of. I don't want to get out there and put things on the line, right? Keep sending me those checks. Why would I want to go back to work, et cetera, et cetera? More of the Frank Sontag Show as we continue. We'll remember D-Day. That's next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Yesterday marked the 77th anniversary of, well, the landing at D-Day. And I want to share just a commentary that honors those that fought and in many cases gave their lives by which we can still embrace some level of freedom in this day and age in our country. On June 6, 1944, more than 156,000 Allied forces launched from the sea onto the beaches of Normandy. Nearly 7,000 Allied ships commanded the French coastline and more than 3,200 aircraft dominated the skies. A few miles inland, 23,000 paratroopers landed to block German reinforcements from the shore. After years of preparation, practice, and training, the Allies had come to break German power in Europe. For the American, British, Canadian, and other soldiers who landed in Normandy that day, this was a crusade. General Dwight Eisenhower's message to the Allied forces made it clear. Quote, sailors, soldiers, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you're about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hope and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened, and will fight savagely. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Then President Delano Roosevelt. Imagine a president speaking like this in this day and age. He shared in a radio address. Quote, my fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew that at that moment that the troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join me in prayer. By the way, he prays to God, not so much the guy in office now. First time since 54, but I digress. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, Almighty God, our sons, pride in our nation, this day have been set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true, give strength to their arms, stoutness to their heart, steadfastness in their faith. Thy will be done, the road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war, for these men are lately drawn for the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest, they fight to end it, they fight to liberate. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer, said Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength too, strengthen our daily tasks, to redouble the contributions we make, both in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in Thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters, of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With Thy blessing we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogancies. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen. Thousands of men and women sacrificed their lives for our freedom that day on the beaches of Normandy. May we always remember D-Day and our indebtedness to those who risked everything in World War II's greatest gamble. As it applies to today, there is an enemy among us. I think some of us don't realize who the real enemy is. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We are seeing things right now, I know in my life I've never seen before. Evil doesn't even hide itself anymore. But I would just say, maybe it's time to wake up and engage. Whatever that means to you, I don't know. But it's time to stop living in fear. As Pastor Rob McCoy said yesterday, many of us would rather be taken care of than fight for freedom. I'm not one of those. That's why we have a men's ministry. That's why I do this program. That's why I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate and the only answer. I follow the warrior King Jesus, who not only, yes, did say, love your enemy, be compassionate, forgive, but he also was one that clearly fought evil with a righteous indignation. And I just wonder, where is my brother, where is my sister in Christ to fight the same evil that seems to be rearing its ugly head right now? Your emails are welcome, franksontag@kkla.com. We have, I think, 45 tickets left for our event on the 26th. If you'd like more information, go to franksontag.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.